My name is Reverend Kayla Bonniewell, and I am the senior pastor of two churches which meet in this building, Cathedral of Hope and Church of the Open Arms. I would like to welcome you all here today and have been asked to begin this news conference with a few words. Both of my churches are part of the United Church of Christ Christian denomination, and we stand with our national church in solidarity with the Standing Rock Sioux Indian Reservation and in opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline. And a prayer by Jesus recorded in the Christian Testament of John chapter 17, verse 21. Jesus prayed for all to become one, just as he and the Creator are one. Only when we recognize that all of creation is connected in spirit, and that what we do to the rest of creation we do to ourselves, will we begin to treat our waters, land, and air with the holy respect and care that they deserve. The Standing Rock Sioux and other Native American peoples have been teaching this truth for many generations. We are grateful for all who take nonviolent and soul-filled action on behalf of the safety of the water, which is a source of life for all. Last week, most of us in Oklahoma and in six surrounding states were awakened by a 5.6 magnitude earthquake that most likely is the result of disposal wells linked to the practices of disposing toxic wastewater by injecting it deep within the earth. How we treat our land and water has a direct impact upon our lives and the lives of our children and grandchildren. It is the important and sacred role of our religious traditions to remind us that the Creator has blessed us with creation, and we in turn are to be a blessing and not a curse to the earth. This past Earth Day, United Church of Christ preachers all over the nation proclaimed from their pulpits a simple message: keep it in the ground. Keeping fossil fuels in the ground and transitioning to 100% renewable energy is our faithful way to move forward with all of creation. Lastly, I would like to share a teaching which Jesus taught to his disciples, recorded in Matthew 25. Whatever has been done to the least of the members of his family has been done to him. In this day and age, too many of us treat the land, water, and air as the least of these. We must remember that God is one with all of creation, and how we treat creation is how we treat God. Let us walk lightly upon the earth, protect the land, water, and air, and be faithful in our relationship with the divine. Thank you.
Thank you, Kayla. That's my pastor. I'm Nathaniel Batchelder, director of the Peace House, and I'm going to serve as MC today. Casey Camp Hornick is going to speak now. Lifetime activist for the environment and for Native American rights. She is known throughout the United States and the world, wherever the rights and dignity of indigenous people have been threatened. Casey Camp Hornick.
I can't tell you what an honor it is to be here and to be asked to voice on behalf of my mother, the earth. It's a pleasure to stand in solidarity with these relatives and with you. When we come together with one voice, with one heart, with one spirit, and one particular way to go forward, we're going to move it, aren't we? We're going to move forward in such a manner that we're going to remember these things. I was telling Johnson Bridgewater, I was at the meeting where that keep it in the ground slogan came up in California 2 years ago with all of the big enviros, the 350.org, Earthworks, all of their names. I don't even recall all of their names. But I was also there with sisters from the Amazon, with relatives from the Arctic Circle, the Gwich'in, with people from Minnesota. And I was there with the sacred water. I was there with the sacred herbs. I was there with those without voices. And that's what I'm here today to talk to you about. My sons, Mikasi and Haluma, are up there right now on the front lines in a peaceful, prayerful way. On August the 8th, when we were coming back from Sundance in South Dakota and praying for direction and praying for our Mother Earth and praying for those without voices, those that walk on four legs, those that swim, the water herself, those with wings, those that crawl and creep and burrow. We were all there together in prayer. We were asking for direction. How can we help you, Mother, so that you could help those that are coming down the way? How can we stand tall for the generations to come as our ancestors have stood tall for us? And it doesn't matter what quadrant of the earth that you come from. Whether it's the quadrant of the black nation, the white nation, the yellow nation, the red nation. Again, when I heard the voice earlier, she talked about us being one. And we are more than one. We humans are so full of ourselves that we think it's all about us. But we are part of a system that the Creator made in place here, where we're all interdependent. This morning, each one of us here got up and we ate something. Whether it was of the rooted nation, whether it was of the four legs, whether it was of those with wings, or the wheats that grow. Each one of us ingested liquids. Each one of us took a sacred breath. Each one of us was warmed by the Father, Son. Each one of us was empowered by the sacred earth to come here today. That is the oneness that we share. That breath that you're taking now, that's not the first breath that the Creator put here. You're not the first person to have that come deep inside them. Nor are you the first thing. Somewhere that breath has flown. It has come down through maybe Wesa, those that live that way. Maybe those that live that way. Maybe through a fire that was born of the Thunder Nation when lightning struck. Maybe that sacred water that you took, whether it was in the form of juice or coffee or the sacred water itself, flowed through the Missouri River and evaporated up and became a thunder and rained down and came into this system that we just turn on a faucet and take for granted, put in a bottle and take for granted. But it's been shared with every living thing that lives, and it will continue to be that way. Maybe the warmth from the Father, Son that we know as the sacred fire, and each nation has that within their ways as a sacred being, even in those places long ago in those caves over in the other side, they have pictures of fire. We're connected through that. Our bodies are warm. All of these things are things that we have to understand the connectedness of. We are not singular. And never have been and never will be. That's not the way the Creator set this up. So when we travel to Missouri, to the Missouri River, in our name it's Nishude. It's a smoking water because the spirits walk on top of it every morning. You can see them. You can be part of them. We went up there in one way to uphold this way that they are saying that water is life. And life is water. And we understand that to be a truth that's ingrained in our being. Every ceremony that we have in the indigenous world revolves around water. We went up there and took a resolution, which in our tribe, I'm a councilwoman for the Ponca Nation, is a law that stands with the law of the Standing Rock people. Because up there, they're fighting for all of us. 18 million people depend on the Missouri River water for their drinking water. And this has been set up. When my sons turned around on August the 8th, following the direction of the sacred pipe and the Creator, to go back up there and stand with the Standing Rock Sioux, they went up there not knowing. There was 35 people there at that time. Mikasi and Jeff went up there, and my other sons that are called nephews in your language. And those 35 people had such heart and such ways about them that they stood in front of bulldozers and said no more. Can you imagine doing that? Those are my sons. So my daughter, my companion, my grandchildren and I drove up there to stand with them. And by the time we got up there 2 weeks later, it had swelled to over 1,000. And it was a sight of such beauty that I can't describe it to you, how it felt to be there, how it felt for hundreds of Red Nations and allies, ranchers and farmers and enviros to come together with one common cause behind prayer, understanding the peace and the love has to happen throughout the world for us to be able to hold ourselves up and for us to be able to say we were part of that change. We took a moment in our lives at noon on a Thursday in Oklahoma City and came together to prove to ourselves that we too here in Oklahoma can begin to move with that kind of passion, with that kind of strength, with that kind of dedication. The week after I came back, and I came back because we were having our annual gathering at Ponca, there was a fish kill in the Salt Fork River right behind there. It's where Ponca children had been swimming. That's where we fish. That's where life comes through the springs, those natural springs and groves, all of the things that we eat, caused by fracking, caused by injection wells. And they're saying possibly, I'm saying definitely. Definitely, that's what's going on. Without a shadow of a doubt, the tests are showing that. It's not showing algae blooms. It's not showing natural causes or so-called natural causes. It is man-made earthquakes. It is man-made problems that we are facing. And it is up to us as human beings to take responsibility and say that's not going to happen anymore. There's been legislation that has stopped the municipalities from passing moratoriums or putting any kind of brakes on the extractive industry within the cities. But we of the Red Nations, we Poncas and we Pawnees, have already done a moratorium and a resolution that is going to stop fracking and injection wells. I love this guy. He's so subtle. I know I've talked way over my 3 minutes, and he's so kind and gentle, but if I do this, I can't see him at all. This is sacred herb from North Dakota. This is a purification herb of sage. Peji Khuda. This is why we care. All life is sacred. We are sacred. Everything that is part of us is sacred. And these robes that we wear over our spirits that have been given form, not just by the Creator, but all of creation, we have to honor that. We have to stand together. And we will. Sha.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. We asked our three Native American representatives to speak first. Next is the Reverend Siobhan Colonel, Executive Secretary of Native American Indigenous Ministries of the United Methodist Church in the United States and a member of the Seminole Nation in Oklahoma. Siobhan has worked with the World Council of Churches, the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Peoples, and the United Methodist Church's Council of Bishops on improving relations with Indigenous people and supporting empowerment of Native American and Indigenous people everywhere. Reverend Siobhan.
You'll have to excuse me for this breach of etiquette. We're taught that we don't speak as a male until each one of these indigenous women have said their piece. And so I want to just ask for your excusing me of that as I come here to share just a little bit.
Excuse me for not knowing that.
I don't want to. This is our way, and that's what we're trying to teach all these people, is our way of life and how we do things, how we are reverent to all aspects of creation. And so I had to say that, you know, I want you to excuse me, sister, for that, and my sister over here, my relatives that have come to be with us. But as I start and come here to share just this little bit, you know, I have to say thank you to your presence here, because we have to be honest, this isn't our first protest. This isn't our first time raising our voice up to say something is going wrong with the world around us. In fact, I can't even count how many times we've been together before, putting out a press release, putting out a statement saying this isn't okay and this isn't congruent with an indigenous way of living. So I give you a heartfelt thanks this afternoon for coming here, to the relatives that have come to support, to the media that is here, and most of all, to our partners up here from the non-Native community, the support that you are offering. Those are the people that we are trying to awaken their consciousness to what is going on. Because as you have heard in press conference statement after statement over the past almost 2 months, that we're not the only ones that drink water. We're not the only ones that breathe air. We're not the only ones that eat food. All of us do. And so I have to say that thank you for each one of your presence here and whatever it is that you do to convince the world that this is a major issue that can potentially threaten our livelihood, not just of human beings, but of all of creation. But today it is with that great urgency that I come to say these few words of solidarity and support for the Standing Rock community and their pursuit to halt the construction of the pipeline near their reservation. Make no bones about that. As a church official, that is why I am here. As I hope we all are beginning to recognize that there is a growing consensus among Native American tribal nations from all across North America, not just in the United States, but indigenous peoples all over this world are noticing what's going on. I just came back a week ago from 2 weeks in the Philippines, where I spoke to some of our partners there, where they said, "What is going on in North Dakota?" They had received word. Now, this is a part of the country. There's not cell phone coverage there. You have to go and find internet coverage there. But they knew about what was going on here in the U.S. In addition, I hope that we also recognize that there is a growing number of non-Native American supporters who are now doing everything within their power to help demonstrate the support to halt this construction of this pipeline as well, and also trying to raise the awareness for the potential harm that is beyond our measure. They're all coming together, all of these voices, and that's why we're having this press conference, in hopes that maybe the media might pay a little bit more attention, and we're glad that is starting to change every day as this movement begins to get bigger. As an executive within the United Methodist Church who works with all indigenous peoples worldwide, I have personally bore witness to the destruction and harm that extractive industries can do to our communities. Whether it be in the Philippines or in northern Myanmar, indigenous peoples are being attacked for nothing more than wanting to remain in their ancestral homelands. Nothing more than wanting to stay home. Indigenous peoples are being attacked. Whether it be in Brazil, or even we have to come to an understanding, or even here in the U.S. Indigenous peoples have seen the impact of polluted rivers and devastation of forests as extractive industries have continued their pursuit for material wealth. Today, we are witnessing the same destruction in our own backyard. As we are now aware of, the site being destroyed is of enormous historical significance, in addition to the potential pollution of water sources for the Standing Rock Reservation. As has become clear over the past several weeks, it is the wish of the local tribal community that this so-called construction project cease, and nothing more.
Right.
Cease. We are just now beginning to examine the even...
Bravo.
We are just now becoming aware of even the spiritual significance of these areas that are even on so-called private property, places of worship that have been there for centuries for the Standing Rock community. We stand in solidarity with their pleas for this construction project to stop. Within the United Methodist denomination alone, the Standing Rock community has found support from the president of our Council of Bishops, Bishop Bruce O, who released a statement. He is of the Dakotas area. And from the denomination's General Board of Church and Society, whose general secretary released another statement saying they support all of our endeavors. And even from my office, the Office of Native American and Indigenous Ministries, we specifically stand in solidarity with Standing Rock community and urge all parties involved, including the United States government, to be mindful that no endeavor such as this project should proceed without the free, prior, and informed consent of the tribal community, as specifically stated within the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples.
That's right.
And this project does not have the consent of the community.
That's right.
It is hoped that this press conference can also serve as a reminder to other faith communities, and we're very thankful to be in this house of worship this afternoon. But maybe this press conference can be a reminder to other faith communities around to stand in solidarity in the same way as this activity. What is going on in the Standing Rock community is a potential threat to religious freedom. It has been well said throughout the hundreds of comments surrounding this standoff that water is life, for which it is. But so that you might understand it better, each of you as visitors to our community, it is more than just something that you drink. For many of our Native American communities, it is our medicine. It is a way of praying. It is a way that we communicate with what we consider the divine or the holy. It is everything to us. And in this day and age, water that is pure and clean that we can just walk up to and go and say our prayers and go and have our ancestors communicate to us, water that is clean is becoming more difficult to find as time goes on. Today, we stand with the people of Standing Rock and with a host of indigenous peoples around the world who are fighting to maintain their homes and all the resources that they possess. Thank you.
That's right. Bravo. Thank you.
Our third Native American speaker is Alicia Onzawa, a member of the absentee Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma, co-founder of the organization Indigenes Incorporated, and a core member of Stop the Plains Pipeline of Oklahoma, a growing community of people concerned with the risks to Oklahoma water resources posed by the Red River 2 pipeline project. Alicia.
Good afternoon. Again, like our other speakers here, I want to thank each and every one of you. As Chabon said, you know, this is not the first time that we have crossed paths, and even with some of our supporters and allies and friends here. So it does my heart good. I've only been involved in this for the past 4, maybe 5 years, and in that, you know, we've seen a lot of times when our voices are not amplified. And often silence. But now, you know, we have the opportunity. Our allies are realizing that, our friends that we've, you know, come to know throughout the years. And I am so appreciative of that because it has been frustrating. It has been tough. But we also, for myself, I see the beauty in what is unfolding here before our very eyes. You know, we have 200 nations, tribal nations, flags that are flying over there in Standing Rock today, maybe even more. So far, they have had a totem pole come from the Pacific Northwest. Tlingit canoes arrived just recently from up north. We have had Aztecs arrive. We have had our Anishinaabe longhouses are being built up there. This is unprecedented. And for some of us that are that have been taught different of our beliefs and stories, not just stories, not just myths. Those are real to us. We see that there is something larger than any of us that is happening right before our very eyes. And if that is the case, then we all have a choice to make. We all have a choice to make today on where we stand, on how active that we are in bringing forth the message that we must change the direction that we're going. And I know a lot of you here understand that, and I appreciate that. But I ask that you continue to join us and help us to awaken everyone else. Just like Casey said, my son was also at ceremony up there because his daughter is Lakota. And he came back for one day. I didn't get to see him before he left. He came back for one day and he said, "Mom, we're leaving." And he headed north. He headed up to straight up to Standing Rock. And to stand up with his baby's people. And I'm really proud of him for that, for doing that. You know, he was with her son. They haven't got to officially meet yet, but he was there. And he's going back there today. He was there for 2 weeks and came back home for a bit, and now he's going back. And I never thought that I would have to see my son going to fight to ask for peace on our own lands, to ask for the basic necessities of life on our own lands, you know, not somewhere across the ocean, not fighting in a war that is not one of our own, but here on our own homelands. And it's been a very emotional time, but yet I try to look at the bigger picture and see what is going on, what is unfolding. You know, we are all here in this time and space for a reason. There are no coincidences. And so in that, want to just continue to let Standing Rock, the people of Standing Rock, know that we see you. We see you and we support you. And I know that there are those here that will continue to do whatever we can to get the word out, to let people, to let the world know what's going on, because we know, you know, very well that there are media out there that are not covering the story, or they're being selective in what they cover. That's affecting the way that the public views this. But we know that there are truths that are being, you know, not being told. And so we will continue to share that. We'll continue to try to request, you know, support. And we do have people that are going up there to stand with you. There, I wish I could leave myself. I wish I would go today if I could. You know, it's hard because sometimes we're stuck in a system that is not of our doing, that is not of our making. You know, I've seen some terrible, terrible posts online. Some of them saying, "Well, if you guys drive, you know, how'd you get there? You know, you guys drive." Well, guess what? We did not create this. But here we are today. So we have to make the best of what we are dealing with and work together and help people to realize how important this is. If you think about it, as I was talking to my cousin earlier, water is just one of many connections that we have to our ancestors. We talked about, you know, breathing and how we share that, but that expands over time. It is not limited. The very water that it takes to make the air that our ancestors breathed, you know, hundreds of years ago is the same that we breathe today. And the water that they were able to look upon and see their reflection as like a reflection of our soul. And what are we doing to ourselves when we look at that water and we can't see ourselves in it anymore? And so we've got to change the direction of that. We've got to change the direction for our kids, for their kids, so that they don't have to fight one day. So that they don't have to stand up or they don't have to suffer. It's for all of us, every single one of us. And as was said earlier, not just people. We are not at the top of any food chain. You know, we've been misled into thinking that. We are just a mere part of the whole big picture. And those that were here before us, the animals, all those other living beings that are so much wiser than us. So much wiser than us. And we owe it to them to stand up for them and speak for them. And that's why a lot of us are here today. And so I just thank you, and I thank every single one of the organizers of this. It has been encouraging, and really encouraging to get the support. And also, I want to, he mentioned that I am with the Stop the Planes pipeline here. You know, we're facing the Red River pipeline. I want to mention that briefly. The fight is right here as well. You know, we live in the cross country. You heard mention of the fish kill and how the things that Ponca Nation have they're facing. I heard that recently. I heard something in a little more in-depth detail, and it broke my heart. I've never even been aware of some of the issues that they're facing, and I live here. So there are so many things that are going on, but our voices must be amplified. Our stories must be told, in these kinds of events, and so that we begin to awaken and realize what we're doing to ourselves, what we do to each other, we do to ourselves, as was stated earlier as well. And so there's a lot to deal with here as well. And so, you know, it's tough on my son probably to have to make that decision, stay here and help or go up there and help. You know, that's a choice that none of us should have to make. But here we are, and we're doing the best that we can with it. My cousin is going with him today, so I feel a little bit better about that. But I ask that you continue to keep everyone in prayer, however that prayer may be, to continue to keep everyone in prayer, and that we pray for each other, everyone that's up there, but also pray for each other, that we come together here, that we continue to grow, that we continue to awaken, that we continue to strengthen each other, and that we begin to change the direction. We have got to change the direction that we're going in and remind people that there are alternatives. Let the people in leadership know that this will not be accepted anymore. We are not going to accept the poisoning of our children. We're not going to accept the poisoning of our elders. We're not going to accept the poisoning of all of our communities anymore. Enough is enough. You see an unprecedented standing up of indigenous people, and we're saying enough is enough. No more. So thank every single one of you for being here. It means more than I can express. And I look forward to moving forward with you all. Look forward to seeing all your faces as we go forward courageously. And just thank you very much.
Thank you. Our three Native American speakers have correctly stated that these are life and death issues. And we could talk here for 2 days and not cover the whole topic. But now I'm going to introduce the Reverend Mark Davies. Is the Wimberley Professor of Ecology, Ecological Ethics, and Director of the World House Institute for Social and Ecological Responsibility at Oklahoma City University. He's chair of the Board of Church and Society for the United Methodist Conference of Oklahoma, is an ordained elder in the Methodist Church. He works with numerous efforts to build a more just, peaceful, and sustainable society. Reverend Dr. Mark Davies.
What was most important for me about being here today is to listen and to hear the wisdom of our indigenous sisters and brothers. And I did listen. I hope that we all heard that wisdom today. It is my privilege to stand today in support of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and all the other tribes and nations as they are working together in resistance to the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline that threatens both their water and their sacred historical and cultural sites. As a child of the earth, I am thankful. I'm thankful for our Native American sisters and brothers who are protecting our common mother from the Dakota Access Pipeline. And I am proud to stand with Standing Rock. I resonate deeply with the words of Doug Crow Ghost, the Director of Water Resources of the Standing Rock Sioux Nation, who says these words. Listen to them. Hear them. Nobody wants their church to be desecrated. and the earth is our church. As a United Methodist Christian, I join with a myriad of voices in my church who are also standing with Standing Rock. I am thankful for the leadership and courage displayed by the members of the Oklahoma Indian Missionary Conference of the United Methodist Church, who have been leading the way in the United Methodist Church here in the state of Oklahoma and nationally to bring attention and support to those who are protecting earth and water at Standing Rock. And we've been blessed to hear one of these leaders here today, Reverend Chabon Colonel. I once was his teacher. Today, he is my teacher. I'm also thankful for Bishop Bruce O. of the Minnesota and Dakotas area of the United Methodist Church, who wrote these words. I stand with my Lakota and Dakota brothers and sisters because I believe the central question of the creation story is at the heart of their lament and their protest. What will we do with the blessing of power God has given us? That is a particularly poignant God question for those of us who have the power of privilege in our country and the world. I'm also grateful for the witness of the United Methodist General Board of Church and Society and its leader, General Secretary Reverend Susan Henry Crow. In her call for solidarity with Standing Rock, she writes these words: As United Methodists continue our journey of repentance and healing with indigenous peoples, we understand that this journey is meaningful only if it leads us to action in addressing ongoing oppression and injustice. Today, that commitment leads us to stand alongside the people of the Standing Rock Sioux Nation, to offer ourselves as partners in resistance against those who would marginalize the voices of Native peoples, despoil sacred lands, endanger life-sustaining waters, and prioritize profits over the health of God's people and God's planet. And so it is that I stand here today with others in the United Methodist Church and outside the United Methodist Church to be in solidarity with our Native American sisters and brothers who are serving as protectors of earth and water. As an Oklahoman, I am particularly aware of our need to be in solidarity with the protectors at Standing Rock. For we in Oklahoma know all too well the history of broken promises, the history of violence against indigenous people. As Oklahomans, we are also aware that much of the oil that would pass through the Dakota Access Pipeline, if it were completed, is oil that is owned by fossil fuel companies with deep, deep connections to our state. In a state being shaken by damaging earthquakes of our own making, we know firsthand the negative consequences of an unrestrained fossil fuel industry that runs roughshod over the will of the people. We in Oklahoma have a special moral responsibility to stand with Standing Rock, to protect our earth, to protect our water, to protect our climate, and to protect each other. Thank you.
Amen.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson is the senior minister at Oklahoma City's East 6th Street Christian Church Disciples of Christ. He is the past president of the National Convocation of the Christian Churches of Disciples of Christ in America and an outspoken local advocate for justice, diversity, environmental sustainability. 2 years ago, he spoke when we had the People's Climate March in Oklahoma City. Pastor Jackson.
Good afternoon. Whenever I am introduced, half of the room is inevitably disappointed and the other half is relieved that I'm not that other guy. Let me just say this. I am delighted to stand before you today in solidarity with our sisters and brothers at Standing Rock. It is past time for us who are used to just giving lip service to give life service and love service. I stand here representing the group that I served as president for 2 years, the National Convocation of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in the United States and Canada, and nearly 500 congregations strong across these two nations that stand for justice, that fight for one another, that realize that we're all in this together. These are our sisters and brothers. Regardless of what corner of the planet they come from, we are all related, we're all connected, and we all realize that we are not separated from creation, but we are part of
That's
creation.
Right. Bravo.
You don't have to be a member of a Native American tribe to watch what's going on in Standing Rock and it touch your spirit. I stood there. Let me say, I'm also representing right here Black Lives Matter Oklahoma and our president, Reverend Sheree Dickerson. And again, we've always said the fact that you have to say Black Lives Matter is an issue anyway. But while I'm standing here, let me just say Red Lives Matter as well.
That's right. Bravo.
And they always have. And the issue is that, just as it was with Plessy versus Ferguson all those years ago, it seems to me that the Native people in the United States have no rights which other folk are bound to respect. When I look at dogs being unleashed on people who are protesting, my mind flashes back to Birmingham in 1963.
Yes.
If you cannot see a connection between what is going on now and what was happening then your ahistorical focus of history is killing us. There is a connection. There is a connection. At some point, one of these days, we're going to realize that we can't drink oil.
That's right.
Greed is the common denominator in all these things.
Yes.
Our fight is greed, and for greed, people don't care what they have to do to anybody else. Because greed is a monster that kills from the inside out. But it doesn't just kill those individuals that are engaged in doing whatever they have to do to feed their greed lust. It kills nature, and it kills people. And we cannot allow that to happen. We must stand together. We must stand with our sisters and brothers. We must stand shoulder to shoulder, mind to mind, and heart to heart. Because you can rest assured, it's in South Dakota, North Dakota today. It'll be in Oklahoma and Texas and Kansas. In fact, it is already here. Look, it was enough for me to deal with earthquakes, tornadoes moving to Oklahoma. And now I have to deal with earthquakes as well. We can't have all the fun. We need to spread this stuff around somewhere.
That's right.
But we certainly can't help manufacture the drama that we have. There's something wrong with that. It is time for sisters and brothers to stand together. I will stand with our Native sisters and brothers. I will stand with our white sisters and brothers. I will stand with our Latino sisters and brothers. I will stand with everybody that we have to stand with that is fighting for justice.
Bravo.
I don't believe that we will lose this fight, but I need us to understand that we are in a fight. I need us to understand that the other team is not just getting ready to walk off the field. We have to force their hand. We have to show up for the showdown. We have to stand up, and we have to show up prepared, show up determined, and show up ready to show them that justice will prevail. Evil will not win. Greed will not win. Destruction will not win.
Thank you, Jesse. Johnson Bridgewater is the state director of the Sierra Club of Oklahoma. And somehow, I don't have his bio. But he is doing great work in the state, across the state, driving around the state, talking to groups everywhere about the crisis of environmental issues facing all of us. And he's going to join us now. Johnson Bridgewater.
Thanks. That's enough of a bio. Appreciate it.
That was probably an earthquake.
It is an honor for me to simply stand here as an ally. I appreciate Casey and Siobhan and Alicia being here. I'm here to express our full support and solidarity with the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. It's been seeking lawfully and peacefully to put an end to a pipeline project, and a project which, despite having no easement and having never completed the required federal tribal consultation studies, is attempting to force itself on a sovereign nation. I'd like to point out that the situation in Standing Rock is far from unique, unfortunately. Right now, as one of our speakers mentioned, here in Oklahoma, there's a project in Norman that is failing in similar ways. It's failing to honor a sovereign tribe's request. It's failing to complete all the necessary tribal cultural studies and consultations. And this is in our own backyard. And as many people mentioned, it's hard. You want to get in your car and you want to drive north. We have a load of work that needs to be done right here in Oklahoma as well. Right. Yes, we oppose pipelines due to their poor environmental records and their promotion and continuation of a fossil fuel industry that is known to drive climate change. But the most important reason I'm standing here on behalf of Sierra Club, the chapter, the Red Earth Group, the Cimarron Group, the Green Country Group, is to protect and honor the rule of law. The issue at Standing Rock has the potential to overturn America's long history of indigenous injustice by either honoring a sovereign nation's request, and I want to say that over and over, a sovereign nation, or it can simply choose once again to break the law, dishonor a nation, break a treaty, and prove by example that it doesn't honor and practice democracy. The Sioux Nation, Chairman Archambeau, have made it very clear, as was mentioned earlier, they don't want it. It's time we seek a new path, a right path, a safer and cleaner path for renewable energy. If we do so with the same passion commitments given to the fossil fuel industry, it's very clear America can move past fossil fuels towards a better energy future. This is not dreaming any longer. Protecting our water, honoring our land, ensuring we are no longer held hostage to corporate interests is why we are all here, and I need everybody in this room to make a commitment to not just say that, but act that out. The rights that we should be fighting for, the rights of Sioux Chairman Archambeau is fighting for, he's asking for, and he deserves nothing less than the respect, again, of a sovereign nation. Thank you.
Bravo. Thank you, Johnson.
Pat Patricia Hirth is a retreat leader and spiritual director with Turtle Rock Farm, a center for spirituality, sustainability, and healing. A United Methodist deaconess, she is co-chair of the Oklahoma United Methodist Environmental Coalition. She resides in Oklahoma City's Commonwealth Urban Farm Community and is a member of the Human Community Network. Pat Hirth.
The Oklahoma United Methodist Church's Environmental Coalition stands in solidarity and support of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and other communities in their opposition to the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. I have copies of the letter we have sent to Standing Rock, the White House, and the Army Corps of Engineers. We Methodists, as well as most Christian denominations and faith communities of many traditions, have for some years now published environmental statements that recognize the threats to our planet and what's needed to slow or stop climate change. The United Methodist Social Principles state, "We are aware that the current utilization of energy resources threatens this creation at its very foundation. We strongly advocate for the priority of the development of renewable energies. rampant industrialization and the corresponding increase in the use of fossil fuels have led to a buildup of pollutants in the Earth's atmosphere. We therefore support efforts of all governments to require mandatory reductions in greenhouse gas emissions and call on individuals, congregations, businesses, industries, and communities to reduce their emissions. The environmental threat to land, water, endangered species, indeed to the entire planet, by encouraging the burning of more fossil fuel that leads to climate change, is real. The disrespect to the Standing Rock Sioux tribe by not consulting with them before violating the land where they live and bury their dead is abhorrent.
Bravo. Bravo.
In fact, it is long overdue that we should listen to, be in dialogue with, learn from Indigenous people. They have for generations had an intimate, profound understanding of and reverence for the beauty of Earth, Earth systems, and how nature works. They live and speak an inherent wisdom that European descendants have not fully developed. They offer an understanding of a more integral presence on the planet that the world urgently needs right now. They know in their blood and bones, in their sinew, that radical change must come. They can speak to us of extinction, and they can speak to us of life lived in reverence and harmony with all life on Earth. Today, in the strength and courage of the unity manifested in the protest at Standing Rock, may we not only support them, may we follow their lead. May these be days of the great turning toward an earth-centered, earth-renewed worldview that leads to vibrant, healthy, sustainable, just, and flourishing existence for all species, all life, on this wondrous, magnificent planet. First peoples can show us the way.
Bravo.
State Senator Anastasia Pittman is also the National Vice President of Native American State Legislators. She's been up there at the Capitol for 10 years, so she has our sympathy. Please welcome Senator Anastasia Pittman.
Ishtongo, I want to say welcome and thank you in our native tongue. I'm also an enrolled member of the Seminole Nation, and I'm honored to be here at the gathering of voices so that we, as we stand with those who stand in Standing Rock, with the chairman, and as you see this beautiful tapestry of people behind me, of Indigenous people and people of faith. I also want to say that as the Vice President of the National Council of Native American State Legislators, we too have a mission of collecting voices and seeking common ground. We want to provide resolutions to these confrontations. And so there's nothing more that I need to add that's already been said, that this is inherent sovereignty. That means it was sovereignty given before we created the United States of America's Constitution.
That's right.
So we want you to know,
right,
Indigenous people have a way of life, and it is to be respected. We ought to protect the environment, speak for the poor, reject racism, and embrace diversity. And that's what we're here to do. So what we want to do is make it very clear that Oklahoma is a home of 39 federally recognized tribes. Oklahoma has an Oklahoma Native American caucus that will look at these issues. And what we're doing now is looking at pieces of legislation that may be able to curtail things that happen when you don't seek the counsel, when you do not have a collection of voices that get the permission of the Indigenous people who own their land. So we want to respect that, and we thank you so much for being here. God bless you.
Bravo. Thank you.
You know, as I look around this room, I can see and I know many of you have the qualifications and the history and the experience to come up here and speak at this microphone. But you've come here today to support this effort, which is not the last, but the first effort, show of public visible solidarity with the Standing Rock resistance. And so I hope there will be many more. Now I would like to ask the media if they have any questions for our speakers. And Pastor Kayla is going to come back up here and get in line. Any questions from the media, first of all, and then from any of you? Yes. She's from the Oklahoman, and your name is?
It's Juliana Keeping.
Juliana Keeping, sure. And she has a, and you can speak for yourself.
Hi, I'm just wondering if there will be any delegations heading to North Dakota, and if you could speak to that. Thank you.
Yes.
Out of the way, Nathaniel.
Yeah.
I love this guy, and I neglected to say thank you so much for all you do, all you've been, all your support, and for today. Weba, huh? And notice that he even gave me one of these. I like that. Yes, there are. There are continuing delegations that are making their way to North Dakota. As of yesterday, day before yesterday, we were speaking with a youth council of the Osage Nation, and they were filling up a U-Haul to go there. And individual delegations are still up there from Pawnee, from Comanche, from Seminole, from Choctaw, from Kickapoo, the Poncas, of course. Oh, of course. Pardon? Burns. Oh, the Burns Paiutes are there. As you walk into that camp up there, there is the flags of over 100 different nations. And I'd say that maybe a dozen of them are Oklahoma nations that are represented there right now. And they're continuing those, yeah. Yeah. If I may answer a question that's not been asked, when they were talking about, you know, about the dogs and all of this, the security company, my understanding, comes from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah, so we will be having a direct action there tomorrow afternoon. Yeah.
And I would like to ask anybody who is here who has been to the Standing Rock Reservation to stand and make yourself known to this reporter from the Oklahoman, because she may wish to ask you a question after this news conference. And Peter, you were up there in the 60s, right? So this is not a new thing, to say the least. Is there another question from the media or anyone else? In Tulsa? Casey?
I'm going to have to apologize on that. What I can do is get the information.